Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God created us to be human. Now, this seems like an obvious statement, except it's not always so obvious, especially nowadays. God created us to be human. There is nothing wrong with your humanity. It is not sin to be human. Sometimes people in their humanity think that because they have an emotion, that this is sin. I've actually seen people who were told when they were grieving a loved one not to grieve or put a limit on your grief. That's stupid. That's not human. God understands things like grief. God built it into us. Psychologists say that grief, when you lose a loved one, is very healthy. It's important. It's a part of the healing process. And so God made us human. Your emotions do not make you less than human. God made you with emotions. The problem with emotions is when we start to live in them. We start to make them the basis of our decisions. We start to make them our focus. The emotions are not designed to think. They are designed to respond. So what we need to do is give them the right things to respond to. But their existence is not sin. It's human. God made you with them. God has emotions himself. They're one of the five parts of the soul. He gave them to you. So the fact that, for example, you have emotions, that's not sin. The fact that your emotions may come up, that is not sin. The fact that you grieve, the fact that you may be happy or sad over certain things, that's not sin. Religious thinking will say, well, that's sin. No, that's not sin. What you do with that may or may not be sin. But having them is not sin. It's part of how you were designed. Now, that design is to be human, but it's very specific. Human means something very specific. It's not like today's society makes human. Today's society is actually an attempt to eliminate what it means human in some cases. But the specificity of human is pointed out in the fact that God made them male and female. And this has a lot of very important implications. It includes our genetics. It includes our way of thinking. Women think differently than men. That's part of the genetic process. When an embryo is about 4 weeks of development, it starts to undergo gender development. So the processes that make you a female or the processes that make you a male start at 4 weeks of development. The mother doesn't even know she's pregnant at this point. And already the process has started. And that's genetically controlled. So if a person is a female, the genetics are going to program them not only with specific body structures and types, but they're going to program them with specific thinking patterns, and likewise for a male. And the two are different. Women and men obviously are different, but they're also different in their thinking. They're different in their sensitivities. They're completely different in so many ways. They're still human, but there's specificity involved. He created them to be male and female, specific types of humans, and that does involve genetics, involves thinking, involves form and function. It involves relationships. It involves the way you live. It involves your emotions. It involves the parts of your soul, the self-consciousness or the self-image. The conscience is involved. Family structure is involved in the way that we are designed to be human. It defines the family. And so human has this very important, very specific meaning. There's no room for what society likes to call fluidity. Fluidity is an attempt to change you from being human. But within humans, there's no such thing in reality. And this is not just spiritual. This is also the biology. The two are not really separated. It's God who created the biology. But your own biology tells you this. This is not a fluid situation. A boy cannot become a girl and a girl cannot become a boy any more than a human can become a dog or a jellyfish. That is all predetermined by God in its design and its structure, controlled by its genetics. Sometimes people wonder, what is a species? Scientists often deal with this. What is a species? They deal with species. Well, species are always defined by their genetics, but within the species, the subcategories like breeds are also defined by genetics. You're never going to get a Chihuahua that looks like a Great Dane. Never. Why? Genetics. But they are still the same species. God built the design into us. And the design is immutable. Now, we cannot self-identify as frogs. Yet, society tells you nowadays that you can. But you can't. Now, why does that take place? And there's a specific reason why that stuff takes place, and it goes beyond mental illness. A lot of it is mental illness, but there's something behind that. In Genesis 1:26, God says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." In the likeness of God is what defines us as human. We are the only creature ever created that was made in the likeness and in the image of God. Now those words, let us, then in our, and after our, those are all plural, and that's important. Because those imply relationships. The entire Trinity, all three members of the triune God, were involved in our creation. Before it says, God says, but with us, with humans, it says, let us make. So you're talking about a relationship, us. And that reflects the fact that not only are we made by the Trinity, but the three members of the triune God all relate to each other. Still one God, but the three manifestations all relate to each other. In this, we were created for relationship with God. That plural is what emphasizes that. That we were created in our likeness. In a relationship like we have. Our likeness. So we were created for a relationship with God. We were created for a relationship with each other. So the two main characteristics of what God has made us to be is His image and His likeness. Image speaks of His character. Likeness speaks of His form. Now, have you ever wondered why we look the way we look? Why don't we look like horses? Why do we look like people? Why do we not look like something different? Why do we have two eyes, two ears, a nose, mouth, two legs, two arms, torso, head? Why aren't we like flies? God made us in His likeness. Jesus came in the likeness of a man because man was created in the likeness of Jesus. We were made to look the way we look because that's the way God looks. And somebody out there will say, well, God is spirit. What do you mean that's the way God looks? You don't understand the Trinity, do you? No, we look like He looks. He made us to look like Him. Except He made us male and He made us female. With God, which is it? It's male. How do we know? Father. And so, these are very important things in our creation. If we take away these portions of our humanity, we take away our humanity. And that's exactly what the enemy is after. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 2, the sons of God, which is referring to demons with bodies. Now, I brought that up to a person a while back. And they said, well, I've never heard of demons having bodies. That can't be right. Why would demons have bodies? Never get confused by your own lack of knowledge. If I haven't heard of something, that means I haven't heard of something. Years ago, somebody said that about the Bema Seat. I'll never forget this. Oh, I never heard of the Bema Seat. I'm not even sure it exists. Your ignorance is not evidence. Sometimes people try to use their ignorance, their lack of learning, as evidence of what is true and what is not. Your ignorance is never evidence. Here, and we see scholars telling us this, Wilmington is a good example. It's referring to demons with bodies. They're no longer around. In the flood, God sent them into a part of hell called Tartarus. They're chained there now. So they're not around. They do exist. They're not around on earth. They will be released eventually for a short season. But right now, that's where they are. These demons with bodies took wives. They had children with these women, and they corrupted the human race. They tried to change the human race. Now, in that case, the change came because they did not want Jesus to be able to come as a man to die for men. So they figured if we eliminate humans from being human, God will not be able to fulfill His promise, and therefore He will not be God. That was part of Satan's attempt still in Isaiah 14:13-14 to make himself God. It didn't work, obviously. But Satan has never stopped trying to make us something other than human. He's doing it today. Today he tries to get us to function outside of the design, outside of the purpose of God for us in pretty much everything. Relationships are a big example of this. People enter into physical relationships outside of marriage, but marriage and people were not designed for physical relationships outside of marriage. And so when a person enters into a physical relationship outside of marriage, it's an attack by Satan against their human design. Same thing that he did in Genesis 6. Homosexuality or transgenderism is the same thing. Satan is attacking those individuals. Satan is attacking society to accept this as some kind of a normal situation when it's completely contrary to our design. Our design is dictated by our genetics. That's where it's programmed. And yet people enter into this. Why? Often on the basis of their emotions, always on the basis of deception. But it's Satan's attempt to make us something other than human. There's a reason why a mother and a father have children. Because that is human. That's part of how God designed humans. It's not possible for two men or two women. It's not possible for a man to become a woman or a woman to become a man. That is not human. Satan is constantly trying to get us to be something other than human. After the flood, he wasted no time in that effort. In Genesis 9:24, for example, after the flood, Noah became a farmer. He grew a vineyard. He made some wine, and unfortunately, he drank the wine at the wrong time, and he got drunk. He was not supposed to drink fermented fruit. That's all that wine is, fermented fruit. It's a process of yeast within the juice of the wine. But he did, and he got drunk. And when he got drunk, something happened to him that was not supposed to happen. Now, a lot of people confuse this. Noah is naked in his tent. Ham entered his tent and he realized, hey, his dad is naked. He told his brothers. Ham was one of his sons. Noah had the three, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, in that order. Ham saw his father naked, came out of the tent, told his brothers. His brothers grabbed a blanket. They walked in backwards so they wouldn't see their father, and they covered him. Then when Noah woke up, he realized, and it says there in verse 24, he woke from his wine and he knew what his youngest son had done to him, and he said, "Cursed be Canaan." And people sometimes equate that with Ham. But that's not a correct translation. It's not youngest son. It should really read, he knew what the youngest one had done to him. Not youngest son, youngest one. Ham was not Noah's youngest son. Ham was Noah's second son. Chronologically, Japheth was his youngest son and Shem was the oldest. Ham was right in the middle. But Canaan was the youngest member of that family. And Canaan entered into the tent and he did things that are not right. And Noah realized that Canaan had done this. And that's why he says, "Cursed be Canaan." Now, why did Canaan do that? Because Satan tried to use him already to make humans less than human. What was the problem in Genesis chapter 4 with Cain and Abel? Yes, we understand the theology. Yes, we understand that Cain was trying to produce something for God by his own effort, and Abel was trying to come to God on the basis of the blood. The theology of it is already established. But there was something more there. When Cain killed Abel, he was jealous, yes, but that wasn't human. Humans are not created for jealousy. That wasn't human. Humans are not created for a lot of things that humans now in their fallen form enter into. That's not human. Humans are created for things like the love of God. Thinking evil of somebody is not human. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, we don't think evil because of love. We're created for love. We're not created for thinking evil. That's not human. Where does it come from? It comes from the one who is evil. It comes from the enemy. It's not human. Fear is not human. Insecurity is not human. Bad self-image, that's not human. That's Satan's attempt to make us something other than human. We're created to have a confident relationship with God. That's human. We're created to be very close in our relationship to Him. That's human. We're not created to have a very distant, vague, ambiguous relationship, or maybe no relationship to Him. That's not human. It's important for us to realize what being human actually means. Because within human, that's where we find the things we're looking for. Most people, when they go out and they make mistakes, they go into sin, what have you, they're trying to be human, but they don't know how. You'll hear people say, well, they're looking for love. Yeah, because we're created for love, but they don't know how to find love. They don't know where to find love. And so they go into things that are not human. Drug abuse is not human. Crime, hurting people, taking things that are not your, that's not human. That is Satan's attempt to make us something other than human. Wrong relationships are not human. That is Satan's attempt to make us something into other than human. In Psalm 139 and verse 14, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now that word fearfully is yare in the original language, and it means inspiring astonishment and awe and reverence for God. Your design is amazing. If you ever think about the fact that you can see, and the fact that not only you can see, but you can see in depth. You can tell what's close, you can tell what's far just by looking at it. How does that happen? That is amazing. The fact that you have thoughts in your head. How does that happen? Yes, I understand you've got electrical impulses going on through your brain, but that's not the same as thinking. You actually have thoughts in your head. You have ideas, you have creativity. How does that happen? That's a part of your design. God designed you to be able to do this. How did that happen? Well, you're designed in His likeness. The fact that your heart beats, the fact that your cells use oxygen, the fact that you start out as one cell in life, and you end up as trillions of cells, and every single cell knows exactly what to do and what it should be. How does that happen? Yes, I know it's genetics. The mechanism is clear, but imagine that that mechanism, that design, that blueprint. Oh, that evolved. Good luck with that one. There was a biostatistician. There's a good book about this, Why We Believe in Creationism. You can get it on Amazon by J. Palmer Douglas. Goes in depth into all this stuff that nobody else seems to talk about. But that design, that blueprint, if that were to evolve, even if the earth were, and we know that it's not, but even if the earth were 4 billion years, and even if the universe was anywhere between 10 and 20 billion years old, that's not near enough time for that to happen. You would have to be literally trillions of times older than what they're claiming is the age of the universe in order for this to happen, if one mutation happened every second. And this is what they tell us is evolution. This is how they tell us we came about. Not even remotely possible. You don't have enough time, even if the mutations were how things came about. There's not enough time. We were designed. We were designed. Because we're human. That design is part of being human. And that design, if you think about it, inspires awe and reverence for God. You have hair. I know a lot of guys who would be in awe if they had hair. But you have hair. How does that happen? Why does that happen? It's part of your design. Hair does not confer any benefit of any sort, human hair. It's part of the design. And they'll make up stuff as they go along. Well, maybe it's to protect against the cold in the environment. I don't know. I have hair, and I'm just as cold in the cold as people without hair, and I'm just as warm in the warmth as people without hair. I don't think so. But this design is amazing. You were designed with a very specific and amazing purpose. Now, you are wonderfully made. It's the word pala. It means to be distinct, separate, set apart, to be different. And that is saying we are unique and different from any other creature that God has created. And He set us apart for a special purpose. We're not like the animals. We may love the animals, but we're not like the animals. We're not like the angels. We're grateful for the angels, but we're not like the angels. We're designed for a very unique purpose. Wondrous are your works. There it continues. Wondrous and extraordinary is what it actually says. Wondrous and extraordinary are your works. My soul knows it very well. Knows, yada. To perceive, to discern, to experience, to confess, and to consider rationally. My soul considers rationally these things. When I consider rationally my own design, that will draw me into a relationship with God because I'm designed for it. Knowing that it's God who made me, that will draw me into a relationship with Him. Because it's Him who made me. Just like you're drawn to your parents when you're a child, we're drawn to God because we're human. To not have a relationship with Him is not human. To not have that drawing toward Him. Everybody has it inside them themselves. They may deny it. They may try to suppress it, but they definitely have it. Because they're human. God built us with that desire. God built us with that longing to know Him. That's human. For years and years, my dad said, oh, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. I said to him, Dad, I don't believe you. He believed it because he convinced himself. I said, everybody knows there is a God. And in the end, he did too. God gave him circumstances that forced him to put away the I don't believe deception and start functioning in reality. And then he got saved. Why? He was human. Denying God is not human. Not living in the will of God is not human. We were designed for the will of God. Not living in faith is not human. We were designed for faith. Not living in the love of God is not human. We were designed for the love of God. Not having joy is not human. We were designed for joy. Self-orientation is not human. We were designed for a relationship with Him and an orientation toward Him. That's not human. We want to be human. And all that it means, we want to be human. Because we're human, we prosper when we live in our design, and we don't do well when we do not live in our design. That's something other than being human, other than what we are. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. We're created for that relationship with Christ, and everything that it means. We're not created for striving. That's not human. That's not our design. We're created to draw near to Him. That's our design. That's human. That relationship with Him is human. Not having that is not human. We're created for grace. God gives grace. Us receiving grace is human. Not receiving grace is not human. Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. Being condemned, feeling guilty, even though I've gotten right, some people still feel guilty when they get right. That's not human. That's something other than human. That's what Satan wants to bring. He wants to make us other than human. But being human means I'm not condemned. Being human means I receive mercy because I was created for mercy. Being human in Hebrews 9:14 means that I let the blood of Christ cleanse my conscience when I make a mistake, when I sin, whatever it is, I name my sin, confess it to Him, and He forgives my sin, and I let the blood of Christ cleanse my conscience, no guilt whatsoever, no even awareness of the sin, because I've chosen to accept what the blood of Christ has done by faith. Well, that's human. God doesn't remember my sin, but me remembering my sin, that's not human. People talk about their sin. Sometimes they think they're going to give a testimony about how God is wonderful to them. And they say, well, when I was 17, I was a drug addict. That's not human. The finished work of Christ, that's what we were created for. Receiving that finished work and living in it is human. Being one person with the love of God in Romans 5:8, that's human. Being one entity with Christ in Ephesians 2:15 and 16 as the one new man, that's human. It's what Christ did for us, yes, but Christ did that for us so that we can be human, just like He created us. That is human. Living by the promises of God, that's human. We were not created to live in anything apart from God's definition. And God's definition for our lives, to a large extent, is His promises. That's human. You want to be human. The will of God for our lives, that's human. Stepping outside the will of God for our lives, that's not human. And you can see it in the consequences. People are rightly related because they live in their design to God, and the joy that it produces in them is amazing. But then sometimes people do not recognize the need for maintaining their own humanity. They recognize their need for food. They recognize their need for sleep. They know their need for breathing. They recognize all the needs that they have, but they don't recognize this one thing that actually makes them human. And then they wonder, why am I not doing well? They wonder, why doesn't this work for me? Why am I not happy? Why am I having problems? Because they're trying to live in something other than human. And they don't even realize it. God created you to be human. And so it's important that we understand what being human entails. It's very specific. It's very important. You're not human by virtue of existence. You are in your biology, but not necessarily in your experience. You're human. So be human. God did not create you for things like jealousy, insecurity, fear, anger. Those are not human. God did not create you for sin. Sin is not human. Sin is something that's brought by the tempter and we respond to and we enter into because it's outside of faith. We were created for faith. Faith is human. Sin is not. A person enters into sin, whatever is not of faith, that is not human. We were made to be human. Matthew 4:4 says, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is human. We are not made to worry about the cares of this world. We're not created to have our finances, our personal details. Oh, but those are so important. Nobody's saying they're not important, but we're not created for those things. God says, I supply all your needs. Didn't Jesus say, look at the lilies? The lilies are kind of amazing. They're clothed with greater splendor than King Solomon, perhaps the greatest, richest king who had ever existed. The lilies are created in greater splendor than he had, but they don't strive and they don't work to make it happen. An ant simply finds its food. And they're not even human. So how much more does he take care of us? We're human. We're created for that relationship. And yet there's people, something happens and they rack their brains, they pull their hair out saying, how in the world am I going to make this work? How am I going to take care of my family? How am I going to have the money? Where am I going to live? What am I going to do? As though the word of God wasn't real. You know, all those things, they're common, they're normal, I understand them, but they're not human at all. Because they are completely outside of the relationship and the promises of God. We were created for closeness with Christ. That is human. The promises of God, that is human. The very first thing that God did when humans sinned is he gave them a promise in Genesis 3:15. That's human. Anything outside of that is not human. We live by faith. That's our relationship to God in Romans 3:22. That's human. In Jeremiah 31:3, the word of God says, the Lord has appeared to me of old, saying, I have loved you with everlasting love, and with loving kindness I have drawn you. That love of God, that's human. It's God's love. Yes, divine love, receiving it is human. Living in the loving kindness of God is human. Loving one another as Christ has loved us, that's human. Animosity is not human. Trying to live by the law, that's not human. We live by grace, through faith. In Romans 1:17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I like the English standard on this. The righteous live by faith. What is righteousness? Righteousness is not simply right standing with God. Righteousness is the relationship we have with God that puts us in right standing with God. And it comes from faith to faith. That means in Romans 10:17, I receive the word of God that produces faith in me, and I apply what I receive from God by faith. That's how the ones who have a relationship with God live. That's human. Anything else in Romans 14:23 is sin. That's not human. We want to live in that which we were designed for. We want to live in being human. Too many people, and it's very common today, try to not be human, and it doesn't work. Craving things that don't belong to you, that can cause wars. But it's not human. A loving relationship with God, that's human. Everything that that loving relationship brings, that's human. Anything else, not human. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.